Blog Talk Radio.
Mighty Grill, put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control.
And welcome to tonight's episode of Clinically Speaking, where we discuss faith-based, psychological, and life coaching topics with the aim to grow, develop, and maintain skills so that we may be elevated to the very best version of ourselves. I am your host and friend of piss, Sierra Renee, and it is my job to love and encourage you like only a friend could, but I also want to educate, challenge, and empower you like your therapist should. And on tonight's show, guys, we're going to be talking about self-care. Yes, that buzzword that goes around. What is it? What it is not? What the word has to say about it and how we could practically implement it. And as always, before we go any further into tonight's topic, let us first pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just humbly come before you, just wanting to reverence you and glorify your name. Lord, you are just such an awesome and mighty God. And although we are undeserving, you continuously grant us your grace and mercy. And we just want to thank you, Lord. God, I just ask right now that if there be anything in our thought, word, or deed that is impure, would you just remove it? God, just completely prune us so that we may become cleansed, so that we can be closer and closer to you. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Plant a mirror before us so that we can see those things and be careful to repent from them and draw closer to you. God, right now, I just ask that as we look at this topic involving self-care, that you will remove any distractions aside so that we may hear a word that will be edifying to us and glorifying to your name. It's in Jesus' name that we just love you, we thank you, and we say amen. 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 All right. So self-care, it's kind of like a movement these days. You literally can log online in the Google or the, you know how the Yahoo has like that Explore page, or even on all kind of social media platforms, and everybody is pushing us to do it. Life coaches are yelling at us, self-care, and your therapist is telling you that self-care will make you feel so great. Even the pastor is preaching from the pulpit. Your social media influencers, the ones that really don't got any kind of training, but they've got a following and they get to tell people what to do. I mean, everybody is pushing the self-care agenda. But what exactly is self-care? What is it? So clinically, self-care has to do with anything someone might do for the sake of their own physical or mental health. So that can include things like eating well, exercising, getting 8 hours of sleep at night. Who does that? Reducing stress, like social interactions, and I'm not even going to add spiritual and soul care. So there's like dozens of strategies that vary, but they all aim to apply a structure and discipline to like me time for yourself, with the hopes that it will provide a form of restoration from our daily tasks and even a motivation to continue out our daily tasks. So I was online doing my research, you know, I like to get studied for you guys, and I came across an article, you know, it's not like it's a Scholastic stories. I don't have to go to Google Scholar anymore, but I feel like it was pretty good information from Women's Health Magazine, and they came up with a list of like 25 self-care tips, And I used that one because it was 25. I did find one that had like 40. But other ones were like 7 tips, 10 tips, 50 tips, 3 tips. All you need is 3 tips towards self-care. But Women's Health Magazine said there was a list of 25 things. So I'm sorry, fellas. It came from Women's Health. But you know what? Actually, the tips were, for the most part, they were pretty gender neutral. So y'all be all right. There were tips like drink water, go to sleep, take a nature walk, go to the beach, say no, et cetera, et cetera. Things like that. It went on and on and on. And then it went to qualify why each of these things were beneficial. But they all had the overarching theme of being intentional about complete wellness. And what I mean by complete wellness is mind, body, and soul. That was like the overall overarching theme of all of them, even on the ones that were just like 3 tips to self-care, between 3 and 50, whatever the exhausting list was. It wanted us to be very intentional about complete wellness. So because we're all like unique people, it is quite difficult to pinpoint one exact strategy or, you know, specific behavior or tip that's going to work, because it's going to be relative. But, you know, if you understand the principle behind self-care, you're really on a great path. And I think that's what that website was trying to get us to do, but they don't clearly state it. So that's what I'm trying to do for you guys today. And this is also part of the reason why, as a therapist, I don't assign specific self-care tips, because, again, it's going to be relative. What self-care for me is not going to be self-care for you. So I want to teach on what self-care is and allow my clients to tell me what's going to work for them. But here's the gag. It should be able to stand up to me challenging it. It should be able to stand up to me challenging it. So that leads me into, like, what self-care is not, because it's just as important that we understand. I think it actually might be more important that we understand what self-care is not, so we don't get tripped up in some bad things. So oftentimes we get self-care all wrong, and we find ourselves engaged in some kind of bad or maladaptive behaviors, as we would say clinically. This is clinically speaking, right? So maladaptive behaviors, it can easily become a part of self-care. I'm doing the air quote thing, guys. You can't see me. Quote, unquote, air self-care. But it's really a maladaptive behavior, because our culture has done that thing that it often does sometimes and took something that was actually good, ran with it, and twisted it all up. Which is why often when we hear self-care, we kind of think of, or at least I do. I won't project that onto you guys. But I think of shopping, a day at the spa, I mean a vacation, a fancy dinner, or just hanging out with my friends, like just maxing, relax, chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool. Just that kind of thing is what I think of when I think of self-care. I'm sorry, I don't know why the Fresh Prince just popped into my head. But that's what I think of. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, sometimes when I first think of, like, self-care, it's often followed up with, like, this feeling of, like, a cringiness, because ain't nobody got time for that, or ain't nobody got no money for that either. I want to go to the nice, fancy spa with the pristine, white, fluffy robe and, you know, like, the squishy house shoes. That's where I want to go. So then I get to thinking, well, I can't afford that, and nor do I have time for that. So then I'm just going to throw the whole idea of self-care away, even though everybody's telling me this is a great thing that I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't have time or money to do this self-care thing, or this is what we do. And I'm guilty. You know, I like to be transparent, so I'm not going to tell you guys that I'm not of this type of thinking at times. I just will say, well, throw this whole responsibility thing away, and I'm going to do it anyway, whether I got the time or if I have the money or not, because I deserve it and I should be doing this because of self-care, right? Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. wrong, wrong, wrong. That's exactly the wrong attitude and how we get into that maladaptive behavior that self-care is not. Self-care is not being selfish or self-indulgent. That's when we throw the whole ideal of responsibilities away and say, this is what I want to do. That's not self-care. There's also this tendency to think that self-care is like a distraction or procrastination or even an escape from our responsibilities, anxieties, and relationships. Wrong again. Wrong again. But if we're honest, we do it in the middle. How many times have you in the middle of the day was like, you know what? I am over this day. I'm going to go and, I don't know, go treat myself to a dinner out or a movie, and that's just what I'm going to do to take care of myself because self-care says it's used to reduce stress, and I've been extremely stressed, so I'm going to forget everything else that I have to do, and I'm going to go and take myself to the movies. Wrong again, guys. Wrong again. When self-care comes at the cost of your responsibilities, we've actually just acted carelessly. So, no, I can't not, to use a double negative, pick my child up from school when I'm scheduled to pick her up. I can't not make dinner or simply not go to work today because I'm overwhelmed and call it self-care. You tried it. I tried it. I'm not going to put it on y'all. I tried it. I'm just being honest with you guys. I'm just being honest. So, no, that's not self-care. It's not overlooking your responsibilities. Self-care is also not reactive. That's big to know, too. It's not reactive. Now, from time to time, I know you may have to stop the presses because you are literally about to shut down, but that's not true self-care. True self-care is intentional and consistent. It actually serves as an armor to protect the energy that we need in order to survive and thrive. It's not just a response to crises or stresses. It's something that regularly occurs. So if you're only engaging in self-care during times of crisis, you missed it a long time ago. Because there was plenty of steps before you got to crisis where self-care could have been implemented along the way. And, okay, self-care is also not about you. It's not even about you. It's not about you. You literally cannot give what you don't have. Intentionally replenishing yourself is an awesome gift that you give to those around you. Not the best parent. Like, are you not doing so great as being a parent? Kids irritating you. Everything that your 3-year-old being a 3-year-old is super annoying. Have you ever checked in and thought maybe you are, like, sleepy, pretty overwhelmed, exhausted? So the little cute thing that she was doing last week is no longer cute at all. Or what about performing bad at work? Yeah, maybe you need to make some adjustments in your personal life, taking care of yourself so that it doesn't trickle over into your professional life because your boss is triggering you, but really the problem is that you got some emotional issues outside here in your personal life, and it's not your boss's fault, but he seems to be triggering you. Well, that's because we're not doing the self-care thing right. So, and here's where I'm going to challenge you guys, and I hope to get you thinking in such a way that it takes deep root. Self-care actually is just not about you at all, period. If we really, at first it's not just about you, but it's not about you at all, period. It's time for some integration, y'all. You know how we do, clinically speaking, faith-based program. Self-care is about glorifying God through being a good steward over the gift of life that he's given us. It's about being true to who you are as his workmanship. Self-care is actually a spiritual discipline that can help us rightly acknowledge our place in God's world. And there's scripture that supports this. Y'all know I do my research, so I'm going to do a little exegesis for you. This is the part where I'm going to process and interpret the scripture in such a way to introduce kind of like my own presuppositions here, okay? Not out of context, but I'm just saying, okay? So Mark 12:30-31 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is in this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Okay, so here's my eisegesis. I'm inclined to believe that not only am I greatly commanded to love myself, but loving myself must be a great thing. Because if we cross-reference the scriptures in Ephesians 5:29, which states, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church." We can see that this seems to be reasonable and rational. And when you think about it, like the current way that we treat ourselves, would Jesus want us to treat others like that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Some of those ways that you guys are treating yourself, not eating right, just making risky decisions and all kind of toxic, destructive behavior. Jesus don't want y'all treating folk like that. Those his kids. No, he wants you to take care of yourself, and he wants you to take care of others. So what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, let's look at what Jesus did. We can look at what Jesus did. What the WWJD. What would Jesus do? What Jesus did. We would have to switch it up. But what Jesus did. The Bible says that, you know, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I think I'm busy, right? I got a job. I have a family. I have a business. I got so many friends. Like, I'm really blessed to have as many friends as I do. But I have so many friends and connections and engagements and things that I do. I feel like I'm super, super busy. And sometimes I feel like in a day's work, I have attempted to try to save the world. But can you imagine what it's like to literally have been sent to save the world? Because that's what happened with Jesus. He was literally sent to save the world. But Jesus often withdrew from the crowds to be alone and pray. Like, he knew that in order for him to say yes to what the Father was calling him to do, he had to say no or wait for what was happening in the moment. Does that mean he was selfish? Or like he didn't care? No, not at all. It meant that he knew what was needed in order to be refreshed, to connect with his Father, and to prepare for the journey that he has ahead. So to all my super moms and super dads out there and it's feeling like you got to save the world, I don't want to hear it. Jesus literally saved the world, but he saw the importance and the value of taking time out to go to a lonely place. That means nobody else was there. It was just him. It was just him and Jesus and God, the Father, and he prayed because he felt like he needed to have that clarity, that connection, that replenishment so that he can continue out his task. He made sure. Jesus was busy. He was doing miracles. You ain't doing no miracles. Jesus was out here performing miracles. So I don't want to hear it when you tell me that you ain't got time for self-care. If Jesus can self-care, you can self-care too. Okay. So those are what self-care is, what self-care isn't, what the Bible says about self-care. But I know that there's this big elephant in the room. Cause I can, like, feel y'all eyebrows, even though I'm on the phone. I can feel y'all eyebrows raise, and I can feel the heads nodding, like, yeah, yeah, that sounds real good. I like what you did there. Sounds great. But still got the question about how am I supposed to do this? And, you know, the thing is, it literally came straight from a Facebook page. I posted this a week ago in error. It should have been yesterday, but I posted it a week ago wanting to know, like, what were some of the questions that people might have had about self-care so that I could address it. Straight from my Facebook page, Antonia Greer, which I think she is a mom of nine. Like, what? She said, "How do I find self-care in a day full of life?" All capital letters, right? And I knew that question was going to come because we want to know about implementation. But like I said earlier, there's no one-size-fits-all behavior. But because I believe that the key is making self-care a part of our regular, the key to making self-care a part of our regular routine is to find its purpose in our lives. so they can take deep root. Like, many times people ask me, how do I do something? And it really comes down to, why do I do something? If you think about it, most of the tasks that you are the most inclined to complete have the most purpose and meaning to you. Okay, let's take something like feeding the kids. Not because they're hungry, but because I'm their mother, and I accept full responsibility for their nutritional balanced life. It's also imperative to me that I communicate love to them through this act of service, because in preparation for sending them out into the world, feeling healthy love is something that's so important, because otherwise they may be subjected to other forms that may be destructive to them. I know you like, Sierra, sheesh, that was a little, you went a little deep with like feeding the kids, right? A little extra. But that's the type of deep, below the surface thinking that's exactly needed for a discipline to take root and to spring forth fruit. We can't just say, I want to do it because. That because is not strong enough. I sit with people all the time and they say, I want to open a business. Why? Because I want to work for myself. Why? Because I want financial freedom. Why? Because, like, I'm consistently asking them why. Because these things that you first just come out with, they're not going to stick. They get hit with some kind of opposition, and it's going to be like, yeah, whatever, abort mission. But when you get something that's so deeply rooted in you, it's not easily moved. It's not easily moved. So when you connect something like self-care to your spiritual practices as a way of glorifying God, that's deep. That's deep, and it's going to be able to hold up to the many challenges in life that's going to hit you. You're going to be hit. We're hit with all kinds of things that stops us from self-care. Like Antonia said, life. Life tells us that if you are not hustling, if you are not always busy and you're not doing something, you are lazy and you're not going to succeed. You're not going to succeed. But Jesus tells us that it's important for us to take out time and connect with the Father in a lonely place. Take out time and connect with the Father. Jesus tells us that we need to love ourselves. And in doing so, we're able to be there for those that are connected. So if you're struggling, I want to challenge you to check your heart and check your mind. Sometimes it may be your pride that's in the way. I'm guilty. My pastor says if you can't say amen, say ouch. So ouch. Sometimes my pride is all in the way of self-care, because I'm like, I got to get this done, and I'm better than this, and this has to happen. I got this. I'm carrying this family on my back type attitude. That's pride. No, I need to sit down somewhere. You need to sit down somewhere. Am I being anxious? And we know the Bible tells us not to be anxious for anything. Am I fearful? Am I untrusting? Am I lacking faith? Am I just flat out being disobedient right now? Because those emotions that you feel, like tiredness, being overwhelmed, anxiety, those are things that are built inside of us that are warning signals to us. So am I just being flat out disobedient to my body? One, because it tells me when I need to sit down somewhere, and to God, two, because he's the one that built these things inside of us. And if we're staying close and connected to him, we should know that we need to be taking care of ourselves. Am I just lacking the understanding? Am I just purely lacking an understanding of what this thing is? So I want to challenge you in that area, because once you understand your why, as you go and you look, maybe you're sitting with a counselor, a life coach, or you're online doing your own research on some activities that you can participate in for self-care. And amongst that plethora of things that you'll find, you'll be guided towards the ones that's going to first serve God, and then ultimately be good for you and those connected to you. So when you see things like a spa day, if your bank account don't say spa day, because self-care shouldn't be providing, like, momentary relief. It should be something that you could be really comfortable with. You can be guilt-free about. So if your bank account is not saying spa day, then you don't do a spa day. But if what it says is go out and enjoy a sunrise or a sunset, and you can also think about the goodness of God and how awesome he is of a creator. Like, a sunset is the most beautiful thing. Sunrises are awesome too, but our God created those things. And it's something about marveling at that that brings us, like, that restorative and just refreshing that's needed. So when you're looking through that plethora, if you understand why self-care is important to you, you'll be guided towards the right thing that's going to be a fit. So I hope that was helpful for someone. So we're going to do a recap. Self-care is being intentional and consistent about taking care of your total health, wellness, mind, body, and soul, right? Self-care is not being selfish or self-indulgent or irresponsible or just reactive during times of stress. It's the consistent and intentional concept of taking care of your total wellness. And then really to get it deep-rooted, self-care is being a good steward of the gift of life that we all have. It is a way that we choose to honor and glorify God through a spiritual discipline. So I hope that was helpful for somebody. I know you may still have some questions about self-care, but I'm hoping that I stimulated your mind in a little bit of a different way than what is out here to the masses online. And I'm really just wanting to get us elevated to the very best version of ourselves. I want to thank Brother James Brown for giving me this amazing opportunity as an executive producer on this show. It's not something that I take lightly, and I really appreciate him pouring into me and motivating me to go forth in this journey. If you or somebody that you know would think that you could benefit from talking to somebody about self-care, if you're in the Westland area, I would love to serve you. My website is elevatedcounselingandcoaching.com, or you can find me on Facebook at elevatedcounselingandcoaching.com. You can even call me directly at 734-956-0616. Sometimes, you know, we just need that push from somebody else or that outside perspective to help us to move towards the direction that we want to go. If you're not in the local area, I encourage you, go online to Psychology Today and see about talking to somebody. There is no shame in sitting down with a therapist and just going through some things. You don't even have to be in a crisis either. I want us to get away from that idea that it's something wrong with us, has to be wrong with us in order for us to go see a therapist. No, sir, no, ma'am. You can go talk to somebody for a wellness check. It's nothing wrong with that. A fresh perspective is always a good thing. So I encourage you to just sit down and talk to somebody. I pray that you guys will have an awesome evening. In fact, I'm going to pray us out. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for you, Lord, for just giving us everything that we need in your word. Now, we know that there is nothing under the sun. We appreciate psychology. We appreciate research and all of that information that is given to us through your chosen people. But God, we know that ultimately you are the creator of all things, and the things that we need are inside your word. If we diligently seek them, you will be so careful as to provide them for us. So we just thank you for being a good, good father, the type of God that cares about us so deeply that you prepared everything in advance for us, and you just want us to come and seek those things out. God, I pray that the person that's listening to this, it takes deep root with them, and that they understand the principle and the importance of self-care as a way of glorifying you, Lord God, and that in that glorification that you will provide a blessing for them and even those connected to them. I hope they have a safe travel and everyone is peaceful tonight. I thank you guys for joining. I love you lots. In Jesus' name, amen.